Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and from time to time we try to be helpful around here. Every now and then we get the impulse to be helpful, and one of the things that we hear so many people would like some help with is keeping the kids Catholic, keeping the grandkids Catholic, making sure they have a relationship with Jesus, fighting through all of the cultural noise with them, with the young ones in the elementary school, in the middle school, high school, at the college. There seems to be just an endless gauntlet, really, of signals to the kids to leave the church, to rebel and all that kind of thing. And so we want to be helpful there. And people do, you know, Ascension Press is just doing fantastic work. I mean, they're just killing it over there. And the Father Mike's Bible in a Year, based on Jeff Caven's work with the Bible Timeline. They've got the whole Bible, you know, the Bible that you can get with the timeline with it. And they're just helping the whole world to read the Bible. Well, they've got Mark Hart working with them, and Mark Hart's been doing this work, working with young people, working with youth, or the Utes, as they say, for coming up on 3 decades, which he probably doesn't want me to say on the air, but I mean, it's a long time. He's a very old man, and so he's applying all of that to the younger group. He did the Venture Bible Timeline work with high schoolers, and now Mark Hart and Ascension Press have what I hope will just be the most successful thing in the world, the Encounter program for middle schoolers. So you want to talk about getting middle schoolers to read the Bible, you want to talk about your middle schoolers, keeping them in touch with Jesus, helping them to know the Lord through the scriptures, this is your hour. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Mark Hart is the Chief Innovation Officer for Life Teen International. He's a graduate of the University of Notre Dame. And like I said, he's been doing this for almost 30 years. Mark Hart, thank you for being here with us.
Cy, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're also just an exciting, fun, interesting person that people love having to come as a speaker. So I say all of that just to put the pressure on you that this better be a good hour.
Really appreciate it. Any more pressure is great. That's where diamonds come from. It's great.
That's right. 888-318-7884 is the number. You want help keeping your own kids, the grandkids, kids in general, middle schoolers in the faith. This is your hour to call and get some help. 888-318-7884. So could we just start with you tell me what's the Bible timeline for middle schoolers? What is this all about?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned earlier, Jeff Cavins, you know, he shared his sort of Bible timeline with the church 25-30 years ago. And I remember I was pretty much fresh out of college, and I saw Jeff do it live, and I went up, and I was working as a youth minister. And I said, Jeff, I said, I would love to adapt this for high school kids. And he started laughing at me. He said, I'd love to see you try.
Oh, really?
And it was sort of a challenge. Yeah, it was almost a challenge. So he said, with my blessing, go for it. And I took it. I mean, and his original course was very long. It was 24, you know, 1 hour sessions or plus. And obviously you can't do that with teenagers, because the attention span of a teenager is, you know, 6.6 seconds, and a goldfish is 7.3. So trying to boil those down a little bit, distill them, while still keeping the meat of the covenant theology, keeping the meat of the timeline, true to the timeline, but to make it a little more engaging, a little more fast paced. So I started doing it years ago, and over different adaptations and that kind of thing over the years, I've done different iterations of it. But as you mentioned earlier, we have Venture, which is for high school students. And now we have Encounter, which I'm very, very excited about. I'd originally done the middle school Bible timeline about a decade ago. But back then, I mean, we didn't have a lot of the technologies we have today. We didn't have a lot of the software we have today.
Right.
And truthfully, we didn't have a lot of the social media, a lot of the other things we were having to deal with, you know, a decade ago with our young people. So when I went to Ascension and said, let's redo this, the contingencies were two. Number one said, it can't just be me talking the whole time, because middle school kids, you know, they want to see graphics. They want to see, you know, animations. They want to see, you know, eye-popping stuff. And number two, it has to have a sense of humor. It has to be fun, because the last thing you want is for your middle school student to feel as though they're going to yet another class outside of class, whether that's homeschool or church or school or whatever it is. So they were gracious. It took me almost 4 years to write this, the leader guides, the workbook, and then to produce the videos. But I can honestly tell you, Cy, this has never been done before, not just in the Catholic Church, but in the Christian Church in general. You've never seen a Bible timeline or a Bible saga unfold with this level of animation and graphics. They're incredibly fast paced. It's a lot of fun. And the best part was, while I was producing these videos, I was bringing them home to my own then middle schoolers and their friends and saying with the rough cuts, hey, what do you think is that? That's pretty funny. They're saying, Dad, that was a terrible dad joke. Take that out. You know, or what do you think about this? Dad, that was really cool. So it was already kind of being tested and beta tested at home before it ever got to post-production and now to release.
The it's called Encounter, the Bible timeline for middle school. And it follows, as Mark just said, Venture, the Bible timeline for high school. Both of them you can find at ascensionpress.com. And do check it out at ascensionpress.com. All right, so who can make use of this? Is this for parents? Is this for catechists? Is this for Catholic schools? Who is it for?
Yes, 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 and yes. Okay. The idea, and I mean, I've sat at so many soccer games or dance recitals with Catholic parents, and you know, they'll say things like, I know I'm supposed to be the primary catechist, but I don't remember my Catholic schooling, or I don't know how, or I don't have the theology. And it's not that parents don't want to pass on their faith, just a lot of times they feel sort of ill-equipped. And then it can be a little embarrassing because, gosh, I should know this, or gosh, I don't want to have to go to these classes at the church. They don't know what to do. So the leader guide really is designed for someone who has really no theology and no scriptural background. You can, there's facilitator notes. I put theological, you know, pedagogical, catechetical references in there for them if they want to be able to go deeper. But this can be used in a homeschool setting. It can be used with a parochial school setting. It can be used as religious education. Maybe if your parish doesn't have anything for middle school, that you can get other, you know, some of your middle school, some of your friends together. You get them together, you pop some popcorn, you throw out some soda. You put it on. The video only goes about 15 minutes per lesson, 15 to 20. And then there are other videos that they can watch that are ancillary, but they also have, we have activities and we have games and crafts and different things like that, but that you could do with your kids live. You don't need to have any scriptural backing to be able to put this on a leader or a parent.
We're talking with Mark Hart. He's made Encounter, the Bible timeline for the middle school. If you have general questions about how to reach your middle schooler with the revelation that God has given us in Jesus and in the scripture, you are welcome to call. If you have specific questions about the Bible timeline for middle schoolers, you can call 888-318-7884. Anyone's welcome to call. You don't have to be Catholic. If you're thinking, hey, I would like to get my kids involved with this, or maybe your church or something like that, you're welcome, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. Everybody should read the Bible. We don't want to set any limits on that. Everybody should read the Bible. So what does the kid get out of this? I mean, does the kid end up with, you know, my middle school kid, do they end up with real insight into Scripture, or kind of, is it cursory, or what do they get?
Really, my hope was to dismantle a few misconceptions. I mean, if you ask a young person, regardless of your age, what do you think about the Bible? You're going to get the roll of the eyes. It's boring. It's outdated. It has nothing for me. It's too confusing. I mean, it's the same thing a lot of adults would say if they're being honest. But to be able to say, hey, you know what? If you can stick with me, I want to show you a few places to look. I want to share a few stories with you. And when you can help a young soul, or any soul for that matter, when they can read a story in Scripture and begin to see themselves in the character, where now it's no longer I'm standing in Eden watching the fruit juice run down Adam and Eve's faces, but I realize the fruit juice is running down my own face because I'm a sinner, because I have turned my back. And to be able to help, you know, extrapolate some of those things. So for instance, an encounter with middle school, to be able to say, if you can't talk to a 13-year-old about the Maccabean Revolt, okay? It's just, you know, historically, I mean, it's a tough book. It's some hard stories, right? And some of them are kind of inappropriate. Some of the ones that come from the Old Testament. So you have to kind of extrapolate themes and say, okay, have you ever been bullied before? Or you read about the story of Esther. Have you ever been bullied before online or on the playground or at school? This is how a young man or woman of God responds to bullying. This is how you know that God is with you. This is how, what your response can be. This is how you prepare yourself. If you have siblings who are perfect, you know, older brothers and sisters who are wonderful, and you can walk them through Cain and Abel or through the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. If you start talking about fear of the future, not wanting God, not knowing what God wants for you, you can talk to them about a young St. Timothy. You can talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. There are several characters and stories, and if you can show them where to go, and in Encounter, we actually do this. I'll be giving a teaching, and then all of a sudden the video will pause to a graphic. They'll have to take their own Bible. They have to navigate to the book themselves, the chapter themselves, the verses themselves. They read it on their own. Then they have a small group discussion with the kid through their life, and then we go back to the video. So we're actually teaching them how to navigate Scripture, how to get used to having it in your hand, and helping them to see these themes that are being played out. Because, you know, as it says in Acts 3, you know, God's the author of life. And the minute that we understand that the characters can't tell the author what to write, all of a sudden our life takes a turn. Because now all of a sudden I'm the character being breathed into existence, being written into existence. Now things like vocation, discernment, future, identity, they all start to pop. And for a middle schooler, that's a really, really crucial thing. And most studies and surveys will tell you, if we do not catch these kids and keep them Catholic or keep them, you know, in the faith by the time they get to middle school, the chances of them practicing the faith go dramatically down in high school, even further dramatically down in college, and we might lose them forever. And this is a critical time as they're starting to puff their chest a little bit and find their own identity and find their own voice to be able to say, you were created with purpose and intentionality. And even though you look in the mirror and you're feeling very insecure, God made a masterpiece in you and your story's still unfolding. This is why it's so important to get to know the author, because then you can see your story really come to life.
The number is 888-318-7884. We got to take a quick break. So perfect time for you to dial if you'd like to talk with Mark Hart. He's been doing this for a long time, I don't even want to say career, a long life in mission of reaching young people. This is a question we get asked virtually every day here at Catholic Answers. And anybody working in Catholic ministry knows this question comes up again and again. What am I going to do for my middle schooler, my high schooler? How am I going to keep my kids in the faith? How can I share the faith with them? And here's one more answer. This is the Bible series for middle schoolers. But if you have a more general question on youth and kids about how to help them stay in the faith, about how to communicate the faith to them, it's all welcome this hour, 888-318-7884. Right back with more Mark Hart on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, why don't you air these people? And I said, no, because I don't think they're Catholic. He says, by what right do you have to say that? I said, I own the network.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and I am going to go back to the phones. Let me invite you again to come on the Canada cruise with us. Catholic Answers leaving July 29th from Montreal, June 29th from Montreal, July 6th ending up in Boston, Massachusetts. 150 or more of your fellow Catholics, including Joe Heschmeyer, who's on last hour, and Chris Check, and Doctors William and Amy Fahey, talking about the Catholic faith, talking about how the Catholic faith came to the New World and was lost by much of the New World, and also just having a wonderful cruise together. If you'd like to know more about it, go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. We would love it if you'd come. June 9th, leaving from Montreal. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about keeping middle schoolers attached to Jesus, attached to the faith, probably attached to reality nowadays, Mark Hart is the guy to talk to, and your call is welcome. 888-318-7884. Mark, I want to keep talking with you about the new I guess program would be the way to describe it, that's that you have out with Ascension Press, the Bible timeline for middle school. But I want to let a couple of callers talk with you first, if you don't mind. Is it all right if we take a couple calls?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's start in Erie, Colorado. Alan in Erie, Colorado, watching on YouTube. You are up next, Alan. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Mark Hart.
Hi, Cy. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Alan.
Hey,
Alan. I'm a revert Catholic, and found these comic book style Bibles, Protestant side, and they're really well done. When I was a kid, I'd loved comic books, still do. And it still tells the Bible story, but in a way that I think is exciting for those kids who like comic books like I did. Is that okay? I had not heard actually of the, you know, the products you have, so I need to look at that. But would this be okay? And then switching back over to the Catholic one. I won't say what it's called because it may not be appropriate, but it's really great graphics, very in-depth. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
My answer is I think it's absolutely okay. I think anything that's going to whet the appetite of a young mind, young heart, young soul, I think you're right there. Now, as a parent, obviously, not knowing the publisher, you're going to want to read through it ahead, you know what I mean, to make sure there's nothing that's going to be overt or subversive, you know what I mean, that would put our child in harm's way. But the reality is a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they put a lot of time and resource and a lot of money into those to make them visually eye-catching and engaging. And I think, as you already said, is it okay to sort of start them on that and then maybe, you know, switch over to the, you know, to the Catholic resources, just something that's inherently Catholic? I think if it's whetting the appetite, I think absolutely. I've had people say before that the only Bible that their child had was a Protestant Bible, not the Catholic Bible, so they dissuaded them from reading it. And I really don't believe that's the right path. You know, I mean, the right translation is the one you have in your hand until you can, you know, work your way into the truest translation or the most clear cut, you know, NRSV or NAB or whatever Catholic translation you can get. But I mean, to start somewhere is really important. And you know, I would hate to put someone's fire out, you know, or not stoke that flame as soon as possible, because when a young mind or a young heart is open to the Lord or intrigued, you have to pounce. You have to jump all the irons hot.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do, because the lines are filling up, and Alan, it was a wonderful question, but if you'd like, we have a graphic novel mega pack here, and I'd actually, since you're a fan of this kind of presentation, I'd like to send you the graphic novel mega pack, and then you can call back if you want sometime and let us know if it's good. Let us know what you thought of it. It's not a graphic novel of the Bible. It's a graphic novel of two wonderful characters who travel around the universe looking for the truth. And it may just happen that they find the truth of the sacraments and of the Bible and of Jesus. But if you want it, hang on. We'll send it to you. And then you can call and give us a review sometime. Our guest is Mark Hart. And I'll tell you what, I'm very excited about this. And I'm excited about it for two reasons. One, anybody that's going to help middle schoolers, God bless them, because we know that children are losing their faith in middle school. Second, it comes from Ascension Press, and it's just synonymous with quality when it comes from Ascension Press these days. They gave us the most popular podcast in the world in Father Mike Schmidt's podcast, The Bible in a Year. And now they're trying to do the same thing for middle schoolers. So if that is your life, if you're involved with middle schoolers, please check it out at Ascension Press. Look for Encounter, the Bible Timeline for the middle school, and check out Mark Hart's work, or just call 888-318-7884 right now and talk with Mark Hart. Father Peter did. He's in Denver listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Father, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Mark Hart.
Yes. Hello. Thank you. Catholic Answers has been great for me the last 20 years. I'm a priest now. I'm a pastor of some small churches up in the mountains of Colorado.
Wonderful,
looking
Father.
For better programs. And yours sounds interesting. My particular situation is a family catechesis that we have after Mass with some middle schoolers, high schoolers, and a bunch of adults. How would you suggest adapting your program if you think it might work for the whole group? That's basically the question.
Right. Thanks for calling, Father. I have a two-prong. One, yes, you can get one resource, and you can put your middle schools and your high schools together. And I realize if it's smaller rural parishes, it's probably smaller groups. I would personally, if you have the opportunity, maybe if you'd have two separate rooms, I would probably get the high school program for the high schoolers and the middle school program for the middle schoolers, just one set of each, for two reasons. One, thematically, there are certain topics that you have to obviously treat a little more pastorally with middle schoolers than high schoolers. And when they're all in the same room, it can get a little tricky because the high schoolers are desiring more depth in the answers, more depth in description. And they want to be able to ask more blunt questions. And quite frankly, you might have a 12th grader and a 6th grader. And while that, you know, it chronologically is not that wide a gap, that can be a gap as massive as the Grand Canyon, where they are theologically, where they are emotionally, and maturity wise. And secondly, oftentimes when you pool middle schoolers and high schoolers into the same room, it can be tricky because for a middle schooler, it's, wow, this is cool, I'm with the older kids. But for a high schooler, it's like, oh boy, kind of a roll of the eyes, I'm with the middle schoolers, even if they're their own siblings. So I would suggest, Father, if you go to ascensionpress.com, you can actually watch the video trailer for Encounter, and they actually offer a free preview pack. So they'll send it to you free of charge. Like they'll send it to you, and if you don't like it, they will give you your money back. So like, that's how strongly we believe in the effectiveness of these resources and products. And I will say, especially in a rural setting like you're in, when you most likely have catechists or volunteers who might not have a ton of catechetical formation or training, these are the kinds of resources that we really are blessed to be able to offer and to lean into, because it's really a light lift. It's really easy for any parent to be able to work through a leader guide, you know, like a couple days ahead of time. They can read through the questions, the answers are there for them. And really for them is as simple as putting out some refreshments, pressing play, pressing pause, and being able to facilitate some discussion where the kids do a majority of the talking.
Okay, Father?
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate both of what you have done over the years.
Father, thank you. And thank you for the kind words about Catholic Answers, too. That means just everything to us. And God bless you and your work. Mark, I have had quite a year of seeing priests in action in all kinds of places around the world. And man, the Catholic Church is so blessed to have men like that who go out into the mountains and with all their education and just help people to come closer to Jesus. So thank you, Father. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to Sophia in Maryland, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Sophia, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Mark Hart.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. My question was, how can I teach youth or children in the church reverence, both in dress and in actions in the church and kind of, you know, that stuff?
First, do away with the entire culture. No, that's not. That's just me talking. let's let Mark Hart give you an answer. How are we going to foster reverence in kids?
Well, I wasn't expecting that, so that was funny. Sophia, this is a great question. I really appreciate you calling in and asking it. And it's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Because we want to raise saints, right? We want to raise kids who are close to the Blessed Mother, close to her Son, close to, you know, held in the Sacred Heart. But it's the million-dollar question. And one of the things I would offer, and this, I'm offering this not just as a catechist of 30 years, but as a parent of four, and raising kids, you know, in the faith with my wife and raising them to want to go to church. I think there's a few things. Number one, Mass is really not the time to do catechesis, you know, and that's one of the things I see parents kind of go off the rails a little bit. They're so busy trying to correct conduct or to, you know, during Mass itself, and they end up missing Mass themselves, and then end up inadvertently modeling what you don't want to model, and that is, you know, that you're distracted and they're distracted. One of the things I had great success with when I was a parish youth minister, and that I even repeated with my own kids and their friends, was I got permission from my pastor. I said, if we come to a daily Mass, can I sit in the cry room? You know, we had one of those cry rooms back then. Can I sit there with some of the teens and allow them to ask me questions? We're not going to Mass, we're not going to 14, but allow them to ask me questions about what's happening, this drama that's unfolding, why they're using the incense there and why he's wearing, you know, what they call the dress, which is a chasuble, why we have this red light over here, you know? Moments like those, or to be able to take your child or your kids, be able to take them to the church in one of the 167 hours that you're not at Sunday Mass, you know, during the course of the week, go in the afternoon when it's empty and walk the church and be able to walk them through and explain things like the baptismal font, be able to explain things like the tabernacle, where when they start to feel as though the Father's house is their house, it stops feeling like a divine courtroom and it starts to feel like Abba's living room or family room, right? And the more comfortable they are in their own skin as they walk into the Mass, the easier it's going to be for them to engage. I think where you sit is very important. But people are always saying, like, how do we teach reverence? I believe you teach reverence by beginning with relevance. Why is this important for us to go to Mass as a family? Why is this important for you to receive the sacraments? Why is it important? Why does God command this? Why does God want to see you every week? They'll learn reverence by our own genuflection, by our own communion bow. They'll learn reverence by the way we enter into the Eucharistic meditation after we receive. They're going to learn reverence by the way we dress ourselves. And you never ever can't ever forget the importance of affirmation. That when you see these seemingly small things, you see a child engage, like listening during the homily, you know, you ask those questions later on, when you can read the readings ahead of time as a family in the days leading up to Mass, so they kind of know what to expect. So the first time they're hearing the readings is not the first time with the, you know, when the lector proclaims it. When you have those little moments and you can affirm them for good job paying attention, you know, that honestly, the coffee and donuts after Mass should be your reward for kids paying really good attention during the liturgy. But to be able to take those moments and say, you know what, well done, son. Well done, sweetheart. Like, you did great. The more they can be affirmed in it, the more that when they get dressed up and they look good and we're affirming, you can sit up closer. Those are these moments that are invaluable, and they start to transcend in their own minds that this is not just a big foreign house. It's my house.
Sophia, thank you so much for the call and for the question. Mark Hart is our guest. He's got a new program from Ascension Press helping middle schoolers read the Bible. We'll talk more about that and take more of your calls on helping the young stay in the faith. 888-318-7884. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns to the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. Join special guests Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and an all-star lineup of speakers September 26th through 29th. Spend time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and our special guests right here in beautiful San Diego. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Is Orthodoxy an alternative to the Catholic Church? In a time of uncertainty for many Catholics, Orthodoxy can look like greener pastures. Answering Orthodoxy, the new book from Catholic Answers Press, explains why Catholics who are thinking of leaving need to think twice. There are important reasons to remain in the Catholic Church and convincing answers to Orthodox claims. Order your copy of Answering Orthodoxy today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest is Mark Hart, a long time in youth ministry, helping kids to discover the faith, helping kids remain in the faith, helping families to share the faith within the family. So if you've got questions in that regard, maybe you've got little kids, and before the middle school years and the high school years start, you'd like to know from someone who has seen it, how to prepare and how to be prepared for all that's coming up. If you want to help a kid or kids to read the Bible, Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School, is now out. That's Mark Hart's program based on the work Jeff Cavins has done with the Bible Timeline. Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School, is out now from Ascension Press. AscensionPress.com is where you would go to find out more about it. If you've got questions about it before you order, you want to talk to the guy who made it, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If you want to talk about anything else about raising Catholic kids, 888-318-7884. Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School. You alluded to something, and I imagine you know more about it than I do, and I'd like to ask you about it. But, you know, I think there's a lot of parents who think, oh, my kids are safe until maybe junior year of high school or something, you know, that's when they'll start to, the world will, is that true anymore or is that not?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, this is speaking in generalities because every family's different.
Sure.
But I will say this, there have been so many studies conducted that talk about what's called the age compression. And that is, you know, Cy, things that you and I and many people listening would have gone through or been exposed to maybe senior year in high school, freshman or sophomore year in college, are what fourth and fifth graders are being exposed to now. Between the proliferation of social media, between the growing pandemic, I mean, the growing epidemic with pornography, what kids are being exposed to would literally leave many people. I mean, I could share story after story that would leave you heartbroken, leave many people listening to this absolutely speechless and with tears in their eyes. And this is even in good families. You know, I think oftentimes we're like, hey, I haven't given my kids social media. I haven't given them, you know, a phone. And let's be honest, it's not even a phone anymore. It's a computer that happens to make phone calls, right? Parents can hand these things to their kids. And putting software on there to protect them is invaluable. It's purposeful. The parental controls are important. Having open discussions, open dialogues. But what a lot of parents fail to understand or remember is that even if they have not empowered their own child with a handheld device or with social media, even if they're trying to act as the gatekeeper, which parents should, that their friends, and not just their friends at public schools, or even that's a generalization, not just their friends at parochial school, even their friends in homeschool communities, there are a lot of kids who are exposed to a lot. And every time, you know, whether it's a birthday party, a sleepover, a soccer practice, you know, dance recital, whatever it is, our kids are being surrounded by a culture, and we cannot protect them at every single turn. We have to teach them right judgment. We have to teach them proper discernment. We have to fully form their conscience, you know, because we can't be there every second to turn that screen off. And at some point, they're going to have to learn, but especially by those middle school years, those formative years, that when that comes on, I walk out. Or when that comes on, I change the channel, whatever it is. And that is not done easily. That takes a lot of conversations from parents. And oftentimes, I think, I've met a lot of parents who sort of want to just kind of close their eyes and kind of put their head in the sand and say, well, I'm just, because I haven't given my child this device, they're safe, when the reality is they're far from it, because they're being catechized and they're being formed by somebody. Now, the question is by whom?
888-318-7884, the number if you'd like to talk with Mark Hart. I will go back to the phones, and Michael in Los Angeles, I'll be right to you. But I just want to ask you this before. So, I mean, there's the negative thing, you know, in the sense of defending the child, protecting the child from the worldliness as much as possible, from these incursions of the world with things that are not appropriate for childhood, protecting their innocence, I guess. But the positive thing is what? Like, it does seem to me that you're this Bible timeline for middle schoolers is part of a kind of maybe comprehensive approach. But what is the parent? You know, how does the parent invite the child up higher, so to speak, you know, into a world that includes love and faith and hope?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I think a couple things. One, I don't want to come across as though I'm demonizing screens, because studies will show you that the next generation, that Gen Alpha, they learn from screens a lot better than we do. Like their minds are able to interpolate so much coming at them so quickly. And oftentimes, because we get a little bit older, longer in the tooth, I don't like that. That freaks me out. I don't understand that. Screens are actually a really useful teaching aid if used correctly. But to answer your question further, you know, how do we get them to sort of elevate? I think that, at least for me, I think that for those parents, those of us who are trying to raise our kids in the faith with a living, vibrant, dynamic orthodoxy, right? But with a mission mindset, that you are on mission. If you wake up with air in your lungs, God's not done with you. He's writing your story, and you have a part, you know, as St. Paul tells the Ephesians, you know, that you're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, not just for work, but for good work. So how do we help them to understand and embrace this vocation and this mission? And I think it begins with trying to balance what I would call our churchy talk and our non-churchy talk. And oftentimes you have, I think, a lot of parents, because they have great intentions, they end up speaking at their child about churchy things instead of speaking to their child. And what's really, really critical is that we create a space, especially in the formative middle school and high school years, it's adolescence, puberty, things are popping. It's really important to create a space where our kids know they can ask a question, where if they ask a question that it doesn't necessarily fly in the face of the faith, but it's just sort of, it's a normal question, that, you know, just about the existence of God, or how we know that this is Christ's church, or why Mass is so important. I think oftentimes there are a lot of parents who are so in love with their faith that they might not be aware of their own countenance, and they look horrified or disgusted, or as though they've failed somehow if their kids want to ask a question. And to be able to create a space where we can say, hey, you know what, like, this is an open dialogue. You can ask me anything you want to ask me. Because if parents get defensive about the faith, or they get defensive in their own parenting, how dare they, how can they ask this question? Well, that's not attractive for a young person. It almost seems like we're being defensive. What we have to remember as parents is, if a child asks you a question, even a hard question, this is one of the reasons Catholic Answers is so effective, and a lot of people listen to it because we learn how to communicate the faith. And it's very, very important to learn how to articulate it in non-confrontational, non-defensive ways. But if parents and grandparents can remember that even if our child says something that might hurt us when it comes to the faith or their experience, their lived expression of the faith, or they have a question about the faith, this is not a condemnation of your parenting. This is a reality of the culture we live in. And it's really important to remember that even if you don't have the apologetic answer and your legs are shaking, that we have a rock 2,000 years old that's not shaking beneath you, that an answer exists. We just have to be willing as parents and be humble enough to go find the answer. And we have to trust in the Lord enough and humble enough to remember that these are not our kids. These are God's. And God entrusts them to us for a specific season, for a period of time, for us to create a culture at home. Our home should be a sanctuary. Our sanctuary is not just restricted to the parish. Our home should be a sanctuary where that dining room table, that living room table, these are altars of sacrifice. We sacrifice our time, sometimes our sleep, to be able to enter into conversation with our kids, to be able to help them to understand who God created them to be and to allow the Holy Spirit to unleash the hidden greatness of their souls.
Wow. Mark Hart is our guest. If you have questions about raising your children in the faith, 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to go to Michael in Los Angeles watching on YouTube. Michael, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Mark Hart.
Thank you so much. So my question is, I have a nephew who's in Los Angeles public schools and his parents are poor. They work two jobs to make ends meet because inflation is out of control right now. They can't take their kids out of school or homeschool them. And they're 13 and 14. My question is, how do they go about teaching them about sexuality when their teachers are telling them that the Catholic Church now is becoming more modern and they're okay with being gay or transgenderism, you know, with whole fiducia supplicants, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you teach your kids that homosexuality and transgenderism goes against the Bible?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And I think, Michael, I'm glad you're asking it. I think two things. Number one, first of all, as an uncle, there is something, there's a part you can play and there's something you can do to be able to aid the parents in being able to raise this way, like in how you avail yourself of knowledge, how you have a new conversation, and how you make sure that you can do whatever you can to be part of their lives, because it takes a village. And young people need mentors, whether that's at the parish, whether that's in the family tree. They need people that they can ask questions to, that they can walk with them, and people to reinforce what the parents are trying to distill to them. That's number one. But number two, I think what's hard, especially when it comes to topics like sexuality, and everything that encompasses, including transgenderism and everything else, it's really, really important to understand that there's no 7-minute abs, right? There's no one book, one talk, one resource is going to solve every problem. That these are the conversations that have to be had most likely multiple times over the course of not just a week or a month, but years, because in these formative years of middle school and high school, it's going to keep coming like a freight train. All these other ideologies, philosophies, thought processes, they're going to keep coming at them, whether they're in a public school. I mean, they're on Catholic school campuses. I mean, some of the things that you hear that are being taught and espoused in different classrooms. So I think it's to understand going in, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And the best thing that you can do, that your brother or sister can do, is to get your hands on, I would say, like a theology of the body for beginners. Because if we don't understand the anthropology of our sexuality, if we don't understand the bigger picture of God's plan for love and responsibility and God's plan for our sexuality, then what ends up happening is we just become reactive to whatever the hot topic is of the day, right? So this person's going to come in and it's going to be about transgenderism, or this one can be about homosexual lifestyle. And if we don't understand the full anthropology of what God's plan was for us, well, then it becomes this war of, well, you know, Genesis says this. Well, Genesis is fairy tale. Well, Genesis is fiction. And people don't understand how to read Genesis properly. But John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, he gave the world such a great gift with the theology of the body. And there's some great books out there, you know, even for beginners, even if you don't have a large scriptural background, that will, that will enable and empower a lot of parents to be able to set the table to have the conversation and not just become reactive to whatever your kids are coming home from school with that day. Did you want to add something?
No, that's wonderful. But I'm going to leave it there, Michael, because we got to take a break. But thank you. And God bless you. Appreciate that call and that question. We've got Mark Hart with us to the top of the hour. So if you've got questions for him on raising Catholic kids, on sharing the Bible with them, Mark Hart is, in addition to all the other stuff that he has done over the years, now he's got Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School, helping middle schoolers read the Bible. If that's of interest to you, if you'd like to ask a question about it, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884 or go to ascensionpress.com and find out all about it. Right back with more Mark Hart on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Hey, there's lines open right now if you want to call and ask your question of our guest, Mark Hart. 888-318-7884 is the number. We've been talking about Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School, the new program that Mark has created for Ascension Press. And I say has created, but is not the sole star of. There's lots of folks involved in this. There's all kinds of interesting graphics and animations. And so this is something that will appeal to your middle schooler or to the middle schoolers in your charge. And so check it out. You can, if you go to Ascension Press, you can see the free materials there. You can check it all out. Encounter, the Bible Timeline for Middle School. If you want to just call and ask your question here, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So Mark, before we were talking a little bit about what the middle schooler gets out of it. And it sounded to me like kind of one way to think about it is that you've arranged the telling of the Bible stories around things that a middle schooler actually faces in their life. You've arranged it around things like bullying trying to find your own identity or trying to know who you are or where you are. Am I getting the right impression of how you've organized this?
Yeah, absolutely. It was trying to extract themes that a typical middle schooler goes through in a typical day. I mean, and if I was to say, you know, scientists said, let's go back to middle school, you'd say no. Like, nobody wants to go back to middle school. It's a horribly awkward time. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally, physically, all these avenues are converging. You know, you'll have a sixth grade boy start the year 4 feet tall and end the year 7'2". I mean, hormones are out of control. You have this huge emotional maturity disparity between young women and young men. We know that girls mature emotionally far faster than young men do. And then that was even before things like the pandemic, things with, you know, like the proliferation of screens everywhere, constant, you know, like video game play, pornography. I mean, the emotional gap is widening between young women and young men at a rapid rate, especially within middle school. So to be able to say, you know, to be able to deal with things like how do you deal with temptation? How you overcome insecurities? You know, how do you deal with what's going on in your own body, you know, because you're not feeling, you know, you're feeling a little bit off. How do you deal with peer pressure? How do you deal, like you said, with bullying? How do you deal with sibling rivalry? You know, what are you supposed to do with your future? How do you know that God's paying attention to your present? You know, and how do I pray? And why is prayer important? I mean, we deal with some of the most base level things and themes, but trying to extract them through story. So I'm gonna find my own story in the story of Miriam, or in the story of King Josiah. you know, or in the story of the kid with the loaves and the fish. I mean, so I went through and really picked out very intentionally younger characters in scripture or characters that had a real identification opportunity for the typical middle school plight and dilemma right now, hoping that as we extract those themes, instead of leaning back, they sort of start to lean in and they start to realize, first, there is a God. Second, that God's not me. And third, that God has a plan for my life. And if I can find my story in this character's story, then all of a sudden I start to realize that God is not far away and distant, but he's close and he's intimate and he's active in my life.
So will they just be exposed then to the themes, the biblical themes, or will they actually read the words of the Bible?
Oh, no. Actually, no. We actually dive into the scripture several times in each lesson where they have their own Bible. They're having to navigate it. We're reading actual stories out of scripture. There are journaling activities. There's discussion activities. And I even brought along, I had a few special guests jump in. So people might be familiar with Father Frankie Cicero, who's a good friend of mine. He's on, Chika Anwanyu's on, Tanner Kalina, Ashley Hinojosa. So there's a variety of other voices and other faces that come on and start breaking open certain stories. So after they read a story, they're going to come on and they're going to do a little bit of light exegesis with it to help kind of connect the dots a little bit. So there's multiple faces, multiple voices, as I said earlier. There's a lot of the cartoon animations, illustrations. If you go to ascensionpress.com, you can watch the free preview. I think people will be very blown away because the quality, I mean, that's one of the things I love working with Ascension Press. The level of quality in the production and post-production is really unrivaled. I mean, this took months and months and months of editing mm-hmm. and animation work on the post-production team. So this is something, I mean, I finished my shooting over a year ago. I've just been so excited to see the final product on the shelf, you know?
They really do great work. And I feel happy to be able to recommend the work that Ascension Press does. And the other thing that I must say that I admire about Ascension Press and your work as part of that whole family of things they do as well is the joy of the faith. This is not a grumpy outfit. This is not a, you know how we Catholics can be. I don't know if I need to put it any more precisely than that, but you know, like sometimes it seems to me that we Catholics are like, our club is horrible. You should join. And that seems to me like that's not at all what I get from Ascension Press.
No, honestly, there's such a great group of people over there. And over the years, I've gotten to produce several different series with Ascension, some for adults, for parishes, for kids. But I mean, this is where I've gotten, Father Mike Schmitz is a dear friend. Father Josh Johnson's a good friend. Being able to pull people like that in on different series and be able to jump in and help one another with different things. It's always so much fun. I feel guilty. We have so much fun on set. It doesn't feel like work, you know? And I think, it's a sin to bore a kid with the gospel. And I think that there are too many Catholics walking around. They know that Mass starts at 9 o'clock sharp, but it ends at 10 o'clock dull. Like they had a humerectomy sometime, like around the time of the confirmation.
Yeah.
And it's just say, it says in Psalms 2, the one enthroned in heaven sits and laughs. Like God laughs. Yeah. I mean, God has a sense of humor. You know, I mean, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So I think it's just important to remember, there's that line in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And, one of the reasons, I mean, honestly, I don't think atheists or agnostics do even a percentage of damage to the church as much as joyless Catholics do.
Amen.
I think we have to remember where we come from.
Amen.
And where we're going. We know the end. We know the final score.
I know. This all works out, people. Like, settle down. This all works out. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. All right. Well, how does Encounter, this program for middle school young people, exposing them to the Bible, how does it deal with the fact that a lot of them will have already seen criticisms of the Bible? A kind of like I don't know, somebody saying you should believe in evolution, not this the myths of the Bible. Or do you see what I'm saying? Like they've already, in a certain sense, rather than being encouraged to listen to the Bible, have been encouraged to interrogate it from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. I think. Two things. One, it starts with dismantling those misconceptions. So coming out of the gate in the very first session, I'll say, I'm looking at them saying, I know what you think about the Bible. You think this, and this, and to be able to call out the elephant in the sanctuary right in the very, very beginning and to say, but if you stick with me and you let me take you on this little journey, all right, we're going to answer all these in order and you're going to have the truth, like the right answer, but you have to trust me. Because we're going to do this together, and you have to trust your leaders. And it's just to kind of create that baseline where they understand I'm not speaking at you, I'm speaking to you. And they're going to see, like, hey, we have a sense of humor. We can have some fun. And honestly, I think this is probably more fun than they've ever had in an RE class or a CCD class. There is a sense of humor. There's a lot of like visual gags built in. There's a lot of jokes built in. And I think that, our kids have enough school. They have enough class. And one of my biggest pet peeves, I get to go to a lot of different Catholic schools and Catholic colleges and get to kind of guest lecture or teach or that kind of a thing. The last thing we want, especially if your child goes to a Catholic school, is for them to feel as though religion class is the same as science class, right? It's just one more workbook, one more textbook, one more regurgitation. It should feel different. If you're doing youth ministry, whether that's at a parish or doing it out of your home, we can't forget the youth part. It should be fun, right? I mean, everything should not feel like a droll or a drudgery. I mean, honestly, the more fun we can make it, the more attractive we can make it, And I'm always saying to parents, if you can get them out of the classroom, get them into a living room, get them into a more comfortable setting, get them into a youth room, put out refreshments, let them be teenagers, let them be young, let them have fun, let them screw around, let them ask questions. As long as they understand that we're not going to mess around during prayer, we're not going to mess around when this person's talking, we're going to show respect. But creating that environment, we have to remember our kids are already not comfortable in their own bodies because of everything that's going on hormonally inside of them. Why do we think that dragging them into a parish hall with fluorescent lighting and a cold linoleum floor with carpet squares that smells like burnt grilled cheese from the Knights of Columbus 2 days earlier, why do they think that they're going to be comfortable in that setting? They're not. We have to create spaces where they feel comfortable in their own body. It's already a foreign concept to have to go to the church oftentimes. So the more we can do as parents to create an environment that's a little more laid back and a little more fun, the more they're going to open up mentally, the more they're going to open up spiritually, the more they're going to enter in.
Completely gratuitous attack on the Knights of Columbus. But other than that, I thought, well said. But honestly, I feel like I can read the minds of some listeners right now. I am an adult and I don't know anything about the Bible. I am completely ignorant of the Bible. Maybe I should just get this and use it. Would that be a bad strategy for an adult, I suppose anybody who buy it, you'd be happy they bought it, but without letting go of your self-interest in this matter, is that a good strategy?
Sure. Honestly, it's not only is it a good strategy. I've had so many parents tell me this. They said, we got it. We wanted to review it. I watched the first session and I was hooked. And this is for, venture with high school, middle school. There's no guilt in it. There's no shame in it. I mean, if you're a parent, watch it, watch the video, get a couple videos ahead, watch it and you do it at your own pace. I've had parents like homeschool communities where they'll put all their teenagers in one room and then the adults go in the other room and they pour a glass of wine or grab a beer and they're watching the same things at the same time in different rooms and having different discussions. And it's really funny. I think a lot of adults, they like the stuff that's geared for young people. Cause I don't know what you saw. By the time I get to about 9:30 at night, I have about one neuron still firing. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want dense theology. I the same reason I don't read Pope Benedict XVI at 9 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of thing. Like sometimes what we consider, light theology is really not light theology. It's just a different communicative approach to adolescents and teenagers. I have had so many adults over the years come to me and say, we went through this series with all the adults of the parish, but then we went through the teen one and it was just so much fun and it so much fun discussion. And it's almost like this guilt, like they're kind of telling me on the side, like, I watched your teen version and I really liked it. Like they're almost embarrassed. And I'm laughing. I'm like, because we're all young at heart. It's okay. It's okay to laugh. It does not mean something's irreverent. I think what's irreverent is to walk around all day long like it's Lent, when it's not Lent.
Amen. Amen. Mark Hart's been our guest. I hope you'll check out the Bible Timeline for Middle School at ascensionpress.com, ascensionpress.com. Their little tagline is the faith formation leader. I think that's terrible. If I was them, I would fix it. Their whole thing should be, we're the Father Mike Schmitz people. And then the whole world will know who they are. We're the Father Mike Schmitz people. Mark Hart, thank you. Congratulations on this new program.
Ty, thank you so much. I love what you guys do.
Check it out. Encounter the Bible Timeline for Middle School at ascensionpress.com. That will do it for us. I think we got 2 hours of open forum tomorrow. I think we got Carla Broussard. I think we got Trent Horn. Am I right? For once, I know what tomorrow's program is. That means it's going to be really good. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.